So welcome to our fourth and final in the series of Story Leverage. I hope you guys have been enjoying this. In this segment, we're going to be talking about the practical use, how you use the Four Master Stories. So David, let's just get right into it. How do we use this business and personal? How does this help us?
Well, story leverage, like I said before, goes in those four basic stories. There's a physical story, like something actually happens, that then triggers an emotional story. Emotional story then triggers a mental story, meaning you're looking in the past to see where you've seen something like it. And from there, you formulate your belief. This cycle or this sequence is the same thing that happens in both business, but more importantly, it also happens in life. Now, in the previous conversations, we were talking about how this played out when I was having that near car accident situation where something happened and, you know, here's the belief and the body went into shock and pain. Guess what? The same thing is applicable for business. And that's where the HBDI comes in. Let me give you some examples. Right now, 90% of the Fortune 100 companies are using the HBDI. And as we talked about before, the HBDI is set up to, from like the what, which is the physical data, here's what you can see right now, who is it going to affect and how are they going to feel about it, and that who may be you, what is the process or sequence, which is definitely a business conversation, like how long is it going to take, what's the planning, and then the yellow part, or the last part, is what's the future going to be like based on what we see now, who and how we feel about it, what we're going to do next, and then what future is going to come. So it's the same sequence that we use to create life or see how life, the experience we're having, and in business. So it just so happened that the HBDI assessment gives you a real look, a snapshot of your actual story. Like, what is your orientation to data and quantity? What is your orientation towards how things feel and who's doing what? What is your orientation on how things are going to be planned out? What's the sequence? And then finally, why are you doing it? Like, what's the future you're trying to create? The HBDI maps exactly to those same colossi and abel symbol, which signify life. And guess what? Business really is just a subset of life. Now, it was back in 2011, and I did the assessment. A couple things about the assessment. It takes about maybe 20, 30 minutes to do. It's really fast, and it gives you an accurate assessment of what your actual story is. Like, you know, how are you? You have been this way since you hit the planet. So it doesn't change. Unless you have a significant emotional experience, your story, the who that you are, is pretty much fixed. And it gives you, the HBDI gives you an assessment of both where you are in steady state or when everything is calm, cool, and collected, and most importantly, where you are when you're under stress. Because as you know, business as well as life can be stressful. The applications for business are such are this way. If you're a manager and you have to talk to your crew and or your subordinate and or your employee, it's guys working under you, however you want to look at, or your team members, knowing what their story is of great importance to you, because now you know how to speak to them so they actually hear you. How many times have we said something to someone and we really know they just really didn't hear us? When you know someone's HBDI profile, you'll know what this guy cares about, you know, the process. This guy cares about the data. This is invaluable because when you put together a team, you can see if you have a complete team. I mean, do you have someone who's data oriented? Do you have someone who's people oriented? Do you have someone who's innovation oriented? And do you have someone who is process oriented? If you can develop a whole brain or a whole team, that team is really effective. Another example is if you were to do an HBDI for a group or a team or a company, you may see that you've hired all the same people because we typically hire people like ourselves. And when you're hiring people like yourself, guess what? You open up the possibility that you're always – So companies like American Express, Bank of America, Cirque Soleil, those companies are using the HPDI, IBM. Those are companies that have been using the HPDI assessment as a standard because it lets the managers know, first of all, what stories they're in and what their orientation for both communicating out and team communication in. They know what that is, but they also know what the communication style is of the people that are working for them or working with them on the team. So those are the applications of the HPDI. And the part that I still want to emphasize, which is the most important, it tells you what your story morphs into when you're under stress. And most of the time in business, most of the time in life, we're under a certain amount of stress. Life is not always rosy where we're kicking back, which is where we'd like to be, versus where we have to be to deal with the concerns that we're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And it's, for me, it's been invaluable. When I got my HPDI assessment, I could really see graphically how I'm thinking, both when everything is calm, but then more importantly, how it changes. I mean, mine changes radically when I'm under stress. Like I said, I've not had anyone take the assessment either by as a single or a pair, husband and wife teams. They can do it to see where they are. Singles, pairs, teams, you can even do an HPDI assessment on a whole company. I've seen a whole company assessments done before. Jack, that's what the HPDI is, and that's how it can be practically applied. It's great for negotiations. And it's even better, what I really used it for when I first got it, was to make sure that I wasn't dealing with clients that I couldn't speak to. I can see your HPDI and say, okay, I see how I need to modify my conversation so that it can hear me. How invaluable is that if you're in any type of relationship, especially a business relationship?
Absolutely. Well, this has got two stories to it. It's one is for yourself personally, you know, mm-hmm. to kind of gauge the kind of person that you are. And the one that interests me too about this is it seems like just going through the process, you'll learn a lot more about human nature and the different types of very distinct types of people that could be in your market. Can you talk about how this gives you some insight into, well, we talked about the four master stories and we started to talk, I think, about how people are. If we know more about how people really are, that there are the very distinct traits, that there are very distinct attitudes and limitations on themselves and how they act under stress and everything, doesn't that make you a better communicator? Doesn't that make you a better storyteller?
Absolutely.
More that you know about how people are instead of what I feel like I've done now that I've heard you talk all of these years since 1998 is sort of like a crapshoot compared to the level of knowledge that you have. When you go into a market, you go into consult with a company about getting their expenses down and their results up. A lot of this comes into play, right?
Oh, it always comes into play. I mean, one of the first things that I do now that I have the assessment available is do the assessment on the executive. Yeah, it's invaluable because, okay, there's a lot of conversation about personas and creating the avatar. Okay, instead of creating the avatar, have the person do the HPDI. You actually know the avatar. You know how to speak into it. So you're not making something up. You're actually getting real data from the actual person, or more importantly, if you were to do HPDIs on your best customers, now you know a profile of the people who really want, need, and can afford your product. And it's not just anecdotal. It's based on a database that's been tried and true with millions of data points on it for years. And the thing that's a little bit different about the way that I do it is I have this four master plots conversation behind it. Like, I'm looking at it not just as, okay, well, this is your profile. I'm trying to create a narrative so that the data actually becomes alive and then it becomes usable. Now, one of the things that we've been able to do is do an HPDI on a client or on a market and say, okay, these people bought the product. Who are they? Because once you know that your market is primarily people who really are the numbers people, like they got to have the quantitative numbers, guess what you do? You now can readjust your marketing and your communication to speak into that particular personality. Okay, well, this particular market, the people who buy this particular product, these people are very emotional and feeling driven. They're who-centered. Well, guess what? You give those people a lot of testimonials, and then you're actually crafting, you're crafting and weighing the marketing message, how it's delivered, the platform in which it's delivered on, based on real data. Not just, as you said, the crapshoot. Most of the time we have in marketing, we have this conversation of, well, drop into the story that's in their mind, drop into the conversation which is in their head. Sounds good, but I, as an engineer, I ask the question, how do I do that?
How do you
know? As opposed to just,
yeah, how do you know? I mean, it's one thing to get that far, and congratulations if you have, but that doesn't mean you know the story that's in their head. That only means that you're supposed to be talking to the story that's in their head, but it doesn't tell you what the story is.
Exactly. And see, and that's a critical point. Me, I'm always asking the question, okay, great, you gave me a what, but how do I do that? Like, give me a tool. And again, this tool has been used for almost 30 years, but it's been used as a management tool. I'm looking at it both as a management tool, a marketing tool, a narrative dissection tool. Like, okay, here's the business narrative. Here's where the person is. Here's the situation that they find themselves in. Here's how to respond under stress. Watch this now. If you're selling a product or service, what is that product or service really doing? It's actually relieving someone's stress, because your product or service typically is a solution to a problem or something which is not quite in alignment in the business and or someone's life. So guess what that really means? You are coming with your solution into a stressful situation. So you don't want to be speaking to the ideal profile. You're speaking into the stress profile. Just that distinction alone is worth magnitude of light years ahead of where we've been taught so far in business, or speaks to the conversation in their head. Well, which one? Oh, the one that the problem one. Well, what does that look like? Okay, well, how do I measure it? Now we have a way to actually wrap some level of quantitative analysis around something which is completely subjective, which is the story in someone's head. Now I can see it, and then I can verify, because I'll say, hey, under stress, I suspect that you probably do X, Y, and Z, A, B, C. You know, I do. How's that been working for you? Oh, well, this has been happening. Well, I would invite you to look at this solution as a possible way to alleviate that stress that you're experiencing when you do this, that, and the other thing. Oh, that's what happens at an individual level. And then what I find is, always done, you can see doing those things that you're doing, and maybe you're expecting a different result, but that's the definition of insanity.
Yeah. I'm thinking,
you have to know something.
I'm thinking, if I'm about to go and if I'm about to know all of these things about my market, my people, and not the generic stuff that you can get off of generic demographic research.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done that, and I know a lot of listeners have too, and they still don't feel like they're hitting the target. They don't feel like that, you know, I mean, they may have targeted a little better. Their conversions might have gone up a little bit, but there's still something missing. And what I feel like when you're talking about this on a personal level, it also teaches you to look at your market differently, your people differently, who you serve differently. And not just look at them differently, but really know some stuff about them. That what it feels like to me is I could go out knowing this level of detail about where my people are in their heads, not where they surf, not if they're on Facebook or on email right now. That's all generic. That's all superficial, upper crust level demographic stuff. And it really doesn't help us. It really doesn't, because the web is so daggone noisy. And everybody's got ADD, yeah. And everybody's in a different situation. And what we don't know about our market right now is the situation they're in, not to the degree that we should. What it sounds like to me is you're telling us that this is going to give us a greater insight into where they are in their heads, where they are, you know, emotionally, and how to swoop down and save the day when they're actually in that stress situation where they need you the most, not on a Thursday when they're most likely to be opening their email, but on a Thursday when they're opening their email and they see a message that they desperately need at that moment. And the message speaks exactly to their situation instead of their demographic or their general stuff. Hey, if you own a website, or versus, hey, I know these five things about you right now are going on, and you probably really would like to have a solution to these five things or whatever, something in more detail, something that really hits home emotionally with them while they're in the middle of a situation. It just makes it seem like I could go out on the web and do a much, much better job, not only of hitting the mark, but knowing that the stuff that I'm not doing is okay to not do. So I'm really focused and laser on really where I need to be and the people I need to talk to, but not just the people I need to talk to, the people in the situations that make conversion go through the roof, because I'm talking directly to their problem while they're in the middle of it.
Yeah, we got into the four master stories that control or part of an experience, but there's five master stories that are a part of every market. And I'll touch on them very briefly. You have a global market, which is everything that's going on legally, everything that's going on in the environment, the infrastructure. And then you have the customer has their story. And when you know that, you can speak into it. The market has its story, and that market story is what's holding your message typically. And the story that we really don't pay much attention to is our own story. As the marketer, we come to the party with certain messages, certain filters and whatnot. When we know those, then we can interact with the market, and then we can interact with the customer. But a lot of times we disregard our story, because here's the thing, Jack. If you don't know what your story is, you will find yourself not doing things that you should be. You know, you will find yourself doing things you shouldn't be doing, and find yourself self-sabotaging. So the reason why we do an HBDI with the business owners first, and so that they know how their story interacts with their customer story. It's not just enough to know the customer story. You have to know yours, because you're going to write certain things, do certain things, have certain filters that interact with the customer story. And see, that interaction is where value is created. That's where the dialogue is. The marketplace is going to set the value. How much is this worth? The marketplace is also going to have where the customer may possibly bump into your content. Because at the end of, you know, at the beginning of everything, it's nothing but content. No train, plane, or automobile has ever been sold without first there being a message of a train, plane, or automobile is available. When I was in the robotics industry, I never had a robot in my car, in my garage, or in my pocket. The only thing I could do is walk in with a piece of paper and say, it will do this for you. And that was a huge lesson when I knew that it started and ended with the story. Everything in between is just fulfillment thereof. I could start with, hi, Mr. Plant Manager, owner, you have this situation, you're under this stress, this is what I have that will alleviate it. Then the product would show up, then the service would show up. Then if I fulfilled on my promise, at the end, they would have the product and their service and have experienced a certain new situation. And then at the end, they had another story. Hey, well, they came, they brought this in, and now I'm in a new conversation. Notice, it begins and ends with the story. The stuff in the middle, the robots or the product or service delivery, the content is nothing more than a fulfillment of an initial conversation. That's where this started with me, looking at how can I really forget about storytelling? How do I see the stories and leverage them for profitability? This is a completely different conversation of how, no, it's not how do you talk to the customer. That's easy. You learn how to do that in second grade. You learn how to talk. It's not just, you know, storytelling and, you know, how to tell stories that make people emotional. No, it's how do you tell a story that moves someone such that they want to engage with you emotionally. They want to engage with you because it makes sense for them. And then they want to exchange with you in the marketplace for whatever you offer. And that is what story leverage is all about. And it starts with the HBDI profile and tying that back into the 20 master plots, tying that back into 4 master plots, and tying that back into the practicality of communication. That's what this is about.
So people should really get this going. Number one, get their own HBDI assessment done. That's number one, right?
That's number one. And I will say that there are plenty of HBDI consultants out there. So if you go on the web, you'll find plenty of people who do the HBDI. I've gone through the training, great training. What I'm talking about with the 4 master plots and with the human input design, that's now a couple of levels above the training which is currently available. Because we get into business narrative creation, human input design. So, yeah, I would say if you want to get more information on this, go to www.storyleverage.com, and that'll give you more information and give you an opportunity to actually get your own HBDI assessment for yourself first. And once you know what it is for yourself, then you can say, oh, my gosh, I think this would be good if I knew who my team members were. Oh, what about my customers? Because once you know what your profile looks like, you're going to want to know the profiles of the people that you're doing business with, the people that you're working with, because your stores are interacting with each other on a day-to-day basis, and you ought to know what you're interacting with so you can become more effective.
Got it. Wow, man, this is pretty cool. It feels like you've pulled back another layer of understanding. For me, there's been something missing. And you know, I've been pretty successful over all these years, kind of what it feels like now, kind of shooting in the dark compared to what I could know about my market myself, you know, and I'm thinking just in terms of storytelling. I mean, how many times are we telling stories that we think people want to hear instead of telling our own damn story, right? Like telling our own real story. And that when people come up against something that's real, you all know you do it all the time. You start reading that person's blog a lot more. You subscribe to their stuff. You consume their content a lot more because you've made some kind of a visceral connection with them based solely on the fact that you really believe them, that they really let you in, that there was a story being told that really mattered. And you could tell the person telling it knew their story and, you know, and it was what it just felt authentic and sincere. And that's a big thing to look at for and find. We're looking for it and trying to find it all the time on the internet with all the sources of information that we have. And we go with the companies and the people, the individuals that seem to make that connection. That's one of the only giant filters we have to filter out all the noise and all the insincere people and people who are more marketers than they are, you know, they're just trying to sell you something. It's that feeling of, ick. You know, so I just feel good. I feel good knowing that I'm going to get this stuff cleared up. I'm doing mine as soon as possible.
Well. Here's the part, you hit upon it. When you know what your story is, you will learn how to say no to a great many things in your authentic self. Because just like the customer may hear a story which isn't authentic, we tell ourselves stories that aren't authentic. Mm-hmm. We may find ourselves having whys based on stuff that's not even real now, but we're still telling ourselves a story. And that's the part that I find so fascinating about this particular assessment and the way that we go about debriefing it. You will unearth stories that you're in that are no longer applicable for you. Meaning you're running a tape on your program that has long since become obsolete. And so again, the HBDI is a Herman Brain dominance instrument. It will give you a map on your profile, both stressful when you're stressed out and when you're stressed less, when everything is at steady state, and you'll be able to say, oh my gosh, I am this way, and this is how I've been operating. And then the question now becomes, is this serving me? Is this serving my family? Is this serving my business? But more importantly, deep inside, is it serving me? Because you know when you're not being authentic with yourself, and you know when you're not being effective, and you know when you're self-sabotaging. The question is, do you ignore that, or do you do something about it? And that's what the HBDI Story Leverage Assessment is all about.
To get that, go to storyleverage.com. And David, I think we're going to have to continue these discussions. I think we might have ourselves a regular podcast here, because that while I think this should be really exciting for people, I think there's a lot more to talk about. As you alluded to, we've just been doing pretty short sessions here, and I think there's a lot more for us to explore. We'll see how everybody feels about it. Give us your feedback. Wherever you're listening to this, let us know what you think. And if you would like to hear more, let us know that too. We might just turn this into a regular podcast. There's a lot more I know that David has to teach us. So you won't be sorry committing to a new podcast. You might even want to get rid of a couple just to make room for this one. Who knows? But thank you so much, David, so much for coming in and talking to me about this. And once again, everybody, get started on this. This is really, really exciting stuff. StoryLeverage.com.